This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored? Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/MBO. Terms and conditions apply.
It's the Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert.
My guest tonight is an actor whose career is synonymous with excellence. Please welcome to A Late Show, Meryl Streep. Hello, Meryl.
Hi, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
It's lovely to see you. Lovely to see you.
Great to see you.
Now, I like to ask all my guests this right now, given where we are with the COVID and the lockdowns, where in the world are we finding you? Are you home right now?
I'm home, and you can hear the heat coming on in the Berkshires. I'm shooting a film in Boston, so I'm commuting.
Well, that's nice.
Kind of back and forth. Yeah.
Am I allowed to know what this film is or what you're doing in it? I'm always excited for the next one.
Yeah, it's called Don't Look Up, and it's about a global catastrophe, but it's sort of funny, like Dr. Strangelove for 2020 about global warming. Metaphor for that. It's a big starry cast and lots of fun people.
And who do you play?
I play the president of the United States.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So in the Strangelove model, you're President Merck Mufflin.
Yes, indeed. Except I have a chief of staff who's my son, and that's Jonah Hill. And we had our first scene on Friday, and I was so bad. I realized I came
what?
Out of the, well, I was just, I've been in this, you know, quarantine because they have to be very careful, and I'm totally alone. And my first scene was entering a stadium full of 20,000 people as the president, my big face on the Jumbotron in front of me, and I just like. Completely lost it. I couldn't remember anything. I was so sick, but I'm sure it'll be fine in the edit.
Well, it's amazing. That's where the real movie making happens. That's where the real acting takes place is in the edit. They've certainly
That's
made
right.
me better over the years. What's it like to shoot a movie? That sounds remarkably normal. Does it feel normal to do?
Not at all. No. First of all, there weren't 20,000 people, obviously. There were, I don't know how many, but they'll duplicate them. And they were extras all around the stadium, lonely people separated by 20 feet of air, wearing masks and visors that are clear. So they're meant to have a big huzzah, you know, make a big noise. But it sounds like, and the whole thing's so eerie and odd and disconcerting. And we all have, of course, masks. At the last minute, you take everything off. And the lipstick is all up here. And
you got the nice ring and a nice sweat.
You have a nice ring.
That's nice.
It's all, the illusion is so easy to maintain. Anyway, it was hilarious. And they are all great. But
well,
I have to pull myself together for Monday.
Well, this holiday season, you've been kind enough to gift your fans with two movies shot before COVID, so you were able to shoot this without any masks. I want to talk about them, but the first is Let Them All Talk, which I watched this weekend and I really enjoyed.
You shot this
a Steven Soderbergh movie with a great cast, Diane Wiest and Candice Bergen and Gemma Chan
and Lucas Hedges,
just fantastic. But it takes place on is it the Queen Mary too?
It's the Queen Mary, yeah.
Have you cruised before? Because it actually even now it made cruising look attractive.
Well, it it couldn't get much more attractive than on that particular ship. It's pretty spectacular. But yeah, we went to, I guess it was last August, before the quarantine, before the COVID thing. And we crossed for, I guess it's 7 or 8 days, and made the whole movie pretty much then. There were 2 or 3 scenes in England and once we'd landed. But the added thing was that Deborah Eisenberg, the great novelist, sure, and Stephen had outlined an idea. And each scene, each day, had the outlines of an idea, but no script. So we made it up as we went along.
So how would they do it? Would they, like, hand you your intention or something? Like, how do you know where you're going?
Well, you have where you're supposed to end up, the sort of result that needs to happen at the end of the scene. But how you get there was just individually up to the actors that were in the scene. So it was really fun and really lively. And they're very bright, interesting, imaginative people that I was working with. So it was a kick, but it was terrifying.
I was wondering, because a lot of directors and a lot of actors use improvisation in the rehearsal process to find, yeah, like, the roots of intention, yeah, and stuff like that. But had you done a, yeah, whole movie that was essentially improvised like that before?
No, who has? I mean, no. And certainly not, I've never made a movie in 8 days either. I mean,
well,
it was incredible.
Chronological, like, basically what's happening for the characters is the order in which you shot it?
Yeah. So, and it's our own clothes, and, you know, so I would get up in the morning, put on my clothes, and go next door and have the breakfast scene with Lucas Hedges, you know, sort of my pajamas and a robe that I I have here at home. And we'd have breakfast, and we'd just talk about what we were supposed to talk about, in a way. But we could veer off. He didn't care. Then he edited it over lunch and dinner, and then we'd be exhausted and quickly read through what we were supposed to achieve the next day, and then go to bed racked with anxiety that we wouldn't come up with anything interesting.
And did he?
But it was okay.
Did he ever reject what you'd created and go like, no, you got to do that differently? That's not what your character would say.
No, he never did.
Wow, that's
See,
great.
It's all in the editing, babe. It's all in the. He knew he was going to cut it out. He thought, he's thinking, click, 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 you know, I don't need that, but.
Meryl, we have to take a quick break, but stick around, everybody. We'll be right back with more Meryl Streep.
This episode is brought to you by Twizzlers. Long day, late night, feeling a little bored. Twizzlers is the ultimate sidekick for any moment of the day, no matter what kind of day you're having. The perfect level of sweet and a fun excuse to sit back and relax. Unwind with Twizzlers. To buy now, visit Hersheyland.com/Twizzlers.
Hey, everybody, we're back with Meryl Streep. Did you like being out there in the middle of the ocean? Because this is they're very, very, actually your character talks about this. It's not a cruise, it's a crossing, which is different.
It's a crossing.
Yeah, it's from New York,
yes,
to Southampton. It actually sounds,
yeah,
kind of attractive.
Well, it is a crossing. I mean, that's a metaphor for the whole film and what it's sort of about. It's sort of, yes, aiming at its end. So I had done it when I was first married. They used to, maybe they still do this, they do offer you, if you're you have a film or something, if you come and show it and talk about it, they'll give you a little stateroom. So we did that when I was first married, and it was really fun. But this one is so huge that people didn't know we were making a film. I mean, there were little signs saying a film is being made. But it's just Soderbergh with this little bitty camera, so.
Well, of course. What was I thinking? In my mind, this is your set, but it's not. They've actually got regular paying customers on there. And did anyone ever go, oh, my God, it's Meryl Streep and Diane Wiest and Candice Bergen? Did people ever snap their head around?
No, I don't think so.
You're not as attractive as a midnight shrimp buffet, because I know people just eat from hell to breakfast on these boats, right?
Well, they eat and they gamble and they dance, and it's pretty. But the greatest thing is really that moment in the middle of the ocean, in the middle of the night. You go out on the on the deck, and you're so far from everything. In fact, they tell you when you first get on, there's a point where if anything terrible happens, nobody could really get there in time. You know, there's no way to land or anything. So that's sort of thrilling. And you have that feeling, you know, people navigating by celestial navigation, how, I mean, I was thinking about people making that crossing under the most horrible circumstances, you know, the slave ships and Benjamin Franklin going back and forth to the court of Louis the whatever. And I just thought, wow, it really is awe-inspiring just to see the night sky with absolutely no ambient light. It's pretty amazing.
We have a clip here. Do you know what's going on in this one? Can you set it up for our audience?
This is the very first night on the ship, and where we're just getting together and setting up what everybody can expect. And they've all agreed to come. These are my college roommates. They've agreed to come under for different reasons, and that sort of becomes apparent.
Jim?
Here's to picking up the conversation where we left off. You know? And here's to maybe reconnecting the gang of three we used to be.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Good
night.
Hey, Bert, you want to go have a drink later?
No, I can't.
You also have another film out right now called The Prom, adapted from the 2018 Broadway musical. You play a woman named Dee Dee Allen, and you've described her in an interview as, for CBS, I'm going to say, a big a-hole.
Oh,
and that you tried very hard to bring that part of me forward. How far did you have to reach for that part of you? Because I'm afraid if I did that, I'd get out the spade and go, all right, I'm already there. It's just... It's a little frightening to reach for that in case it's too easy. So what do you mean that she's a big
Well, she says she's someone. Oh, she's very dear. You know, she's a diva, and
she's a huge stage presence. For the people who don't know, she's a star
of
Broadway.
Huge stage presence, a big Broadway star, and she's probably past her sell-by date. And kind of suspects that that's true. And she's pulled up everything that you can pull up. And she's, you know, had the bunions cut off. And she's really tried. And everything's going. And anyway, it's in a last-ditch effort to revive her flagging career. She and her friends contrive this scheme to help in some way make a big social statement and get some good publicity for once, because their careers are flagging.
Well, it's sort of based around a high school prom. Did you go to prom? Do you remember your prom?
Sure. I went to six proms, I think.
Six?
Because they had...
Wait a second. Six proms? How long were you in high school?
They have, is that two each year?
Okay.
For a few years. Anyway, because they have the junior prom and the senior prom.
Sure, sure.
Everybody has to go to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I went to prom, my first prom, when I was 14.
Wow.
And I went with a senior to the senior prom. I can't believe my father let me do this.
I can't believe that either.
With a big football player. So anyway, I went. I had a little dress that my mother had made, and it had little spaghetti straps. People don't even know what those are anymore, but they are straps that are as thin as spaghetti. And I took the pictures with my parents. And then I walked out to the car and I sat down in the car and both of them popped off. And I really didn't have anything to hold them up, hold the stress up with, without the spaghetti. So mm-hmm. I spent the whole prom, like, you know, dancing, this, holding the thing up with my, but, you know, it was the first of many wardrobe malfunctions in my life.
We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask Meryl about her appearance in Obama's new book. I'm not sure if she knows. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/MBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, everybody, we're back with Meryl Streep. Have you read the president's new book?
I have not yet. I've loved to.
It's very good, actually. The guy knows how to write. And yeah. I had the opportunity to read it the last couple of weeks because I interviewed him for the show. And I just want to make you aware of something that happens. You're in this. You're on page 542. I'm not in this book. And I did a lot with the president. I'm not in the damn book, but you're in the book.
Wow.
On page 542, he's talking about sort of artists and entertainers and yeah. cultural, like the cultural hub that they wanted the White House to be. And one of the things he mentions yeah. is Meryl Streep leaning over to softly recite in Mandarin the lyrics to a song about clouds that she'd learned for a part years ago. Do you remember that moment?
I do remember that moment, yes. But he got the story a little bit wrong. He's a very good writer, but his memory is...
So let's fact check. Let's fact check the president here. What was the reality? It wasn't for a part?
Yeah.
It wasn't Mandarin?
It was a poem. I had just gotten back, actually, from this trip to Beijing with a cultural kind of exchange thing. And I went with Yo-Yo Ma and a bunch of performers, and we were to be in the great big Nest Stadium with mm-hmm. 7,000 people, and we were going to do a concert. And Yo-Yo and I were going to do a very famous, like, 4th century Chinese poem that everyone knows. And I was going to do it first in English and then in Chinese. And at the last moment, we heard that the cultural minister was coming, who's an extremely important person. And they threw us all against the walls and frisked us. And, you know, because this was such an important person with her 40-person entourage. And she took the whole first tier and sat down like this. And we were all terrified. And I had learned the poem in Mandarin, and I'd learned, obviously, in English. And Yo-Yo would weave in his music in between. We practiced this. But in Chinese, the same word can be translated as a completely different thing. Famously, there's a story that, and I'm probably going to get it wrong, but ma means mama, ma. But ma means horse, and ma means hooker. So,
you want to get those three right.
You want to get it right.
Before you saddle up.
Before you saddle up. And so I thought, oh my God, am I going to be saying, you know, your mother eats rocks poolside, you know, or something, instead of what the poem was. And I so was terrified that I chickened out, and I said the poem in English, and Yo-Yo played the music, and then I meant to start up into Mandarin, and I just looked at him and smiled. And he went, cross-eyed and kind of finished up, and then we both bowed. It was really, because of his artistry, it was a wonderful moment. People loved it, but yes, I remembered the poem.
Do you still remember it? Can you give us a little taste?
I remembered the poem and said it to the president. You mean now?
I mean, is it possible? I don't want to put you on the spot, other than that, the fact that I do.
Yes. Okay. It's actually kind of a great poem for the quarantine, because it's on the misty mountain, alone on a misty mountain, I come to a clearing, sunlight on green moss. I am not alone. So that's the poem. Oh. And it's Kung Shan Bu Jian Ren. Dan Wen Ren Ri Xiang. Fan Lin Ru Shi Lin. Fu Zhao Xin Dai Shang. That's it.
Thank you. We rarely get Mandarin poetry in late night these days.
Yes, but since 1 in 5 people on the face of the earth is Chinese, they will know now that I have just said something horrible, probably.
But my ratings are going to be huge.
It's an international incident.
Meryl, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Thank you.
Let Them All Talk premieres Thursday on HBO Max, and The Prom is in select theaters and available to stream on Netflix this Friday. Meryl Streep, everybody.
Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.
I'm Rachel Martin. After hosting Morning Edition for years, I know that the news can wear you down. So we made a new podcast called Wild Card, where a special deck of cards and a whole bunch of fascinating guests help us sort out what makes life meaningful. It's part game show, part existential deep dive, and it is seriously fun. Join me on Wildcard, wherever you get your podcasts. Only from NPR.
Rise and shine, football fans. Start your day the right way with Morning Footy, a podcast that covers every aspect of the global game, headlines, match previews, analysis, interviews, culture, fashion, and plenty of banter. Join as we track the thrills and spills of Europe's biggest title races, the business end of the Champions League season, a summer packed with international competitions, MLS, NWSL, and much more. Subscribe to Morning Footy.